WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Hey, Cat, where you going, man?
Man, I'm going down to Bob Street.
Tell me, Cat, where's that direction?
Man, ain't you heard? They got one of them in every town.
Real cool.
Bob Street. Bob Street.
That's Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps fooling around in the studio in 1956, the year that was the pinnacle of Vincent's career in this country. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward remembers the late Gene Vincent.
In 1956, one thing was clear throughout the record business. Elvis Presley, as disgusting and animalistic as some people considered him, was making RCA Records a whole lot of money. Other labels called their Nashville divisions in search of a likely kid who'd do for them what Elvis had done for RCA, but Capitol Records lucked out. Their Elvis came to them. He was everything you'd want, a 21-year-old kid from a poor Southern family with an amazing voice, riveting stage presence, and one of the most incredible bands in rock and roll backing him up. His name was Eugene Vincent Craddock, or maybe Vincent Eugene Craddock, nobody seems to know, and he was born sometime in 1935, although even his mother doesn't remember just when. As a child in rural Virginia, he listened to country music and blues being played all around him, but after some more Craddock children were born, the family moved back to Norfolk, where young Gene became a tough kid, quick with his fists. He dropped out of school and joined the Navy, which he liked well enough that when his time was up, he re-enlisted. With his bonus, he bought a big red Triumph motorcycle, and one evening as he roared through Norfolk, a woman in a Chrysler ran a red light and hit him. The Triumph crushed his leg, and he wound up in the Naval Hospital. Doctors wanted to amputate his leg, but he refused. He would spend the rest of his life in incredible pain as a result. While recovering, he entered a talent contest, and with his leg in a cast, he clung to the microphone and sang a song he'd written.
Well, Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. Bebop-a-lula, I don't mean maybe. Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. Bebop-a-lula, I don't Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby, my baby, my baby. Well, she's the gal in the red blue jeans. She's the queen of all the teens. She's the woman that I know. She's the woman that loves me so. Say, Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby.
A local DJ, Sheriff Tex Davis, witnessed the reaction of the girls in the audience and decided he'd found a star. With two partners helping him with the money, Davis assembled a band to work with the Craddock kid, whom they renamed Gene Vincent. The band's gimmick was that they all wore caps, blue ones, so they were called the Blue Caps, and their guitarist, Cliff Gallup, was one of the finest instrumentalists of the decade. Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps became huge stars in Virginia almost overnight, and as soon as Tex Davis sent a tape of Bebop-a-Lula to Ken Nelson at Capitol Records, he got a phone call back. Could these kids please take the next plane to Nashville? To cover himself, Nelson had some of the best musicians in Nashville waiting at the studio, but once he heard the band play Race with the Devil, he sent the studio musicians home.
Well, let an evil eye, so you say, but I'll have a run the devil on the judge my day, I say. I'm on fire, I'm an old man. I'm on fire, I'm an old man. I'm on fire, I'm old man down the line. Oh, yeah. Well, me and the devil sitting at a stoplight. He started rolling all us out of sight. I say, I'm on fire, I'm an old man. I'm on fire, I'm an old man. I'm on fire, I'm old man down the line.
Bebop-a-Lula came out in June 1956 and went straight to the top. Vincent and the Blue Caps toured, and he was a striking sight, dragging his wounded leg across the stage as the band went wild. His songs and his act were overtly sexual, and this one caused him to be fined $10,000 for public lewdness.
Woman love, hey, 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 woman love, hey, 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 woman love, hey. Hey, 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 woman, hey, 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 hey. Well, I went to my doctor not so long ago, walking in the circle. and long and old. He looked at me and said, good Lord above, son, you need a vaccination of a woman. Well, I'm looking for a woman, one track mind, fucking and a fusing and a switching all the time. I'll be her kissing to the moon above, but I sure am needing me some woman love.
That's right, once!
Too bad the judge didn't have a hi-fi, so he could have heard that the word was huggin'. Gene didn't care. His star had taken off, and he and the band went to Hollywood to perform Bebopalula in the film The Girl Can't Help It. But the more he toured, the more his leg hurt, and the more he hurt, the more he began to take painkillers. There was also the fact that the records stopped selling. Gene Vincent was too dark and dangerous for most tastes, and he began to tour in out-of-the-way places like Australia and England, where he was an immense star, especially after television producer Larry Parnes had the idea to dress him up in black leather. In 1960, he was driving to London with Eddie Cochran when their limo sped out of control and smashed into a tree. Eddie was killed and Gene's leg injured yet again. But Gene kept working nonetheless, and in 1962, he was in Hamburg looking for a dependable backup band because his usual one was late. He settled for some youngsters called the Beatles for the weekend. Before long, he'd disappeared. At least one obituary appeared, but he was still alive, although he was sinking into a mess of drink and drugs. He died in the L.A. suburbs in 1971 of a bleeding ulcer, his records out of print, and his name all but forgotten in this country. He wasn't Elvis, but he deserved better.